Today, I think the temperature is supposed to get to like 62 today. Is that all the excitement you can generate as cold as it's been? God is good, isn't he? All the time. God is good. Amen. It's great to be together. It's great to be here to be able to worship together. And I'm glad you remembered to turn your clocks forward. I'm just wondering how many people are going to show up about time we're finishing this morning. You see, they woke up and realized, what time is it? But anyway, it's great to be together. Here's a note for you. Next Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, we will be showing this movie, Letters to God, as part of our Movies for Family Night. Next Thursday evening, 5 o'clock, here in the auditorium. So keep that in mind. And Brian will be showing that and take care of that. So I want to encourage you to come out and enjoy that with your family. Okay? Now, we are, if I can get this thing to work here this morning. Okay, we have been talking about crazy love. God's crazy, relentless love for us. And the way that God just continues to pour out his love over and over and over again. And as we've been studying this, based on this book by Francis Chan, what we've been really focusing on, we are really going too fast here. We got some technical glitches, so bear with us this morning. It's all about getting to know God in relationship and learning to love God and his creation. That's what crazy love is really all about, okay? And as we've been studying this, one of the things that we've been trying to focus on is getting to know this God that we pray to. Who is he, and what is he really like is one of the questions. What are the characteristics and attributes of this God that we kneel and pray to? You say? And the most important question that we're trying to really pursue in this study has to do with why, okay, why does God deserve? Why does he deserve our love, okay, our worship, and our obedience to him? And so as we're looking at this morning, we're going to be talking about, this lesson number 7, we're going to be talking about when you're in love, okay? When you're in love, what's going on, okay? So we start out, and when I do marriage counseling, one of the things that I typically do, I start out and we talk about different stages of a marriage relationship, okay? And one of the things that happens is, whenever we have a marriage relationship, it typically has started in what we call the romance stage, all right? Now, my son Kyle and my daughter-in-law Maddie, they are true, honest-to-goodness high school sweethearts. In fact, they knew each other in middle school, although they didn't hang around with the same crowd of folks, because Maddie, she was really interested in grades and, you know, learning, and Kyle was there at school for a social event, okay? So they knew each other, but they didn't hang around with the same folks. But, you know, come high school, they were in the choir together, the high school choir together, and, you know, they got together, and as you say, the rest is history. They got married. And they are getting ready to celebrate, I think I got this right, their 8th anniversary coming up next month. Now, the reason that I bring this out is because, you know, I remember when they first got together, you could tell they were in love. And you can still tell that they're in love. I mean, they're excited to be together. When they're apart from one another, at the end of the day, they get together, you can tell they're excited just to be back with one another, because they love one another. And that excitement really shows the love that they have for one another. So let's talk about this romance stage a little bit, okay? Now, typically, when folks meet and they start, you know, as we talk about falling in love, you know, ditches are what you fall in, okay? We're not supposed to fall in love. We're supposed to grow in love. We fall in ditches and grow in love. But here's the thing. When we typically, quote-unquote, fall in love with somebody, how do we react to that? How do we typically respond? Well, one of the things is that we love to be with that person, right? I mean, you know, okay, you guys, you've been married for a while, you go back to that romance stage, when you first, you're trying to win one another is what you were doing, Okay? And so you love to be together, right? In fact, probably some of you made up excuses to be together. Maybe you skipped work. You don't have to raise your hand on that one. Okay? You know, maybe you skipped work or something like that just so you could be with that person that you love, right? But when you couldn't be with that person physically, then you were probably talking on the phone with them, right? You know, there's that, I can't wait to be with you again, but hey, let's talk, right? And you're on the phone and you're talking, and guys, you were willing back then to talk for hours, right? Okay? You know, now it's like, you know, what's going on? I'm fine. You know? But we would talk, and we'd talk, and we'd talk because we were in love with one another, you see? And when you couldn't be with that person and you couldn't talk on the phone with them, what were you typically doing? You're thinking about it, right? You're just thinking about each other, kind of like this guy right here. One day, I caught myself smiling for no reason, and then I realized I was thinking of you. And that's when everybody's supposed to go,
aww.
Because that's what love does, right? You see, that's love. We just can't help think about one another with that. And here's one of the really neat things about it. When you're in love, other people can tell that you're in love. And of course, you like to tell other people that you're in love too, right? People, you know, we use this expression sometimes that she's got a glow about her. What does that mean? She's in love, right? You see? And people can tell by looking at you, yeah, love bug's bitten. They're in love, you see? And then we like the girls, you get your engagement ring, and what do? You know, just want to let people know, right? You know? We like to tell people when we're in love, right? Isn't that what happens?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
What happens when you're in love with God? Should it really be any different? You see? When you're in love with God, you like to spend time with Him, as much time as you can. And so worship isn't one of those things where I need to go to worship. Worship is one of those things where I get to go so I can spend time with God. And so you look forward to that time to be with Him. And when you're not in worship, spending that time with Him, you like to talk to Him, right? And so there's a lot of prayer that's going on, and there's a lot of listening to Him and His Word. So that communication is going back and forth when you're in love with God. Right? And when you're in love with God and you're not necessarily praying, but what are you doing? You're thinking about God. It's kind of like little Elliot right here writes a note to God and says, "Dear God, I think about you sometimes even when I'm not praying." Isn't that love, you say? Even when I'm not talking to you, I'm thinking about you. You say, that's a sign of love. Right? And again, here's part of the really cool part. When you're in love with God, others can tell. See? They can see Jesus in you when you're in love with God. And not only that, but when you're in love with God, you tell other people about your love for Him. Because that's what love does. You see? That's part of being in that romance stage where we're in love. And people can tell that we're in love. And we don't mind letting other people know. Why? Because we're in love. It's that simple.
Amen.
He loves us and we love Him. Okay? So we tell everybody that we can about our relationship with Him. Well, look at what the psalmist says in the text that we read this morning as we began in Psalm 63, beginning in verse 1. Just pay attention to the expressions that are here that the psalmist is sharing, those feelings of love that he has with God. Oh God, you are my God. You see? Isn't that kind of like, you know, when you're in love with someone, you see, and you go, "You're my girl. You're my man." You see? We take possession, so to speak, and we're proud of that. And the psalmist says that to God, "Oh God, you are my God. You are my God." And how much do I love you and want to be with you? Look at what he says. "Earnestly I seek you." You see? Earnestly. That's like we talked about before. When you're in love with someone, you know, you got that in love, love bug bites, and you're making excuses to be with that person. That's what I think that means. "Earnestly I seek you." I make up excuses to be with you, God. You see? Because I love you so much. "Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you." And how bad is that thirst? Look at the description. "My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." That's how bad I want you, God. This is telling us. Okay? He goes on to say, "I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory." And look at this next statement he says, okay? "Because your love is better than life." I love that. "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. Because your love is better than life." You ever felt that way about somebody? Guys, you're all supposed to be going, "Yeah." Okay? Your love is better than life. When you're in love with God, His love is better than anything this life can offer. Okay? Your love is better than life. Let's talk about true love. What does true love look like, especially when it comes to God, in our relationship with Him? What does that true love really look like? Okay? You see, one of the things we have to understand is true love is not earned. It is freely given. And God has already accomplished that for us because He truly loves us. He truly loves you. Each and every one of you, He truly loves, you see? And He gives that freely. The Apostle Paul writes to us and lets us know where that love really came into. And how do we, you know, where were we when God loved us? Look at what he says here. "God demonstrates His own love for us in this." When was it? "While we were still sinners," he said, "Christ died for us." You see, here's the point. When you're talking about true love, we said you cannot earn that, okay? You cannot earn it. It is freely given, and it's given at a time when we need it the most, when we didn't deserve it. And Francis Chan says this in his book. He says, "Why do most people feel they have to either pay back God for all that He's done," or in other words, try to buy His love, okay? Or somehow they keep making up for all the inadequacies and failures that they do, which is kind of the idea of trying to prove our love. So why do we do that? I think it's because we really don't understand the nature of God's true love for us and the fact that He can't earn it. We cannot earn God's love because He's already given it to us. See? He already gave it. You can't go to church enough. You can't say enough prayers. You can't sing enough songs. You can't raise your hands high enough and praise to Him. You can't do enough works of service to make God owe you His love. He freely gives it. You see? He freely gives us, and that's how much He loves us. So part of this whole thing of understanding true love is to understand, stop trying to make up for things. Stop trying to buy God's love if that's what you're doing.
You can just accept His love.
Okay.
Just accept His love for what it is. You don't have to prove anything to God. He already knows everything there is to know about you. And I'm glad He loves me anyway.
Right.
Knowing all that He knows about me, He loves me anyway. That's true love. Right. So, let me ask it to you this way. Think about it along these lines. How do we show our love for someone? What are the kinds of things that we do to demonstrate our love for someone we love? And typically, you know, like we were talking about in that romance stage, we spend as much time with them as we can, right? And then we talk to them as much as we can. We get that communication thing going. We find out about them. We let them know about us and all those kinds of things. And we typically, don't we try to do things in order to make the other person happy or to please them? Isn't that something that we typically do? And then, on top of all that, we have all these expressions of love that we share with that person, right? So we tell them, we find all kinds of creative ways to tell someone that we love them, right? And so some of those ways, I think, are more creative than others. And this is perhaps one of the greatest statements of someone's love that there could be. When someone says, "I love you more than bacon," hey, that's, you know, that's right up there at the top, right? Because I tell you what, I love bacon. All right? So for someone to say, "I love you more than bacon," that's a deep expression of love, right? But the point is that we do all kinds of sometimes crazy things to express our love for someone. And God has done the same thing. God has done the same thing. He's done some crazy things, hasn't He? To demonstrate how much He loves us. I think, you know, call me crazy if you want to, but, you know, the whole thing of sending your son to be abused and killed out of love, I don't know about you, but that's crazy. That doesn't make any earthly sense. And that's crazy love. It demonstrates how crazy in love God is with us. I think He loves us more than bacon, you know? He really does. He loves us more than anything. And He demonstrates that to us. And so, you know, again, go back to that question that we've talked about, and we every week we keep, you know, focusing on this. So why does God deserve our love and our worship and our obedience? Why? Because of the crazy love that He has for us and the ways that He demonstrates that love for us, and how can we then respond to Him? In other words, we need to show God that we love Him, and I think we best do that by pleasing Him. See? The way that we live our life in worship and in obedience, that demonstrates how much we love Him. And that's what God wants back from us. See? The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Colossae, says it this way, "I continue to pray for you so that you may do what?" Look at what he says here. "Live a life worthy of the Lord." Why? "So that you may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." See? That when we're in love with God, we want to please Him in every way, just like we want to do with one another when we're in love. You see? And Paul puts that in the expression of a prayer. "I'm praying for you so that you'll live your life in a way that pleases God." Because that's what we do when we're in love. You see, true love is not something that can be forced, and it's not something that comes out of obligation. I mean, who would want to be in a relationship and call that love where you are forced to love someone? Or where you feel like you have to love them out of obligation? That's not love. And that's certainly not the kind of relationship that God wants with us. He doesn't want to force us to love Him. And he certainly does not want us to feel like we are obligated to love him. He wants us to love him simply because he loved us, to return that love in a relationship with him. True love, you see, comes from the desires of the heart. If it's not from the heart, then it's really not true love. Okay? So what does your heart tell you about your relationship with God? Not only does it cause us to love God and return his love to him, but it also causes us to love each other. And again, that's what this is all about. It's learning to love God and to love his creation. And Peter tells us that we need to learn to love one another deeply from the heart. But that's where the love has to come from the heart. And in this passage that Paul writes in Ephesians to the church in Ephesus, it is less, I think, about whether or not we use instruments in our worship or not to sing with than it is about how we love God. You see, look at what he says. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and sing and make music where? In your heart to the Lord. You see? If it's not coming from the heart, it's not worth much. Because true love comes from the heart. Jeremiah, God spoke to him through him to the Israelite people as a nation when they were not doing what they needed to be doing in their relationship with God. And look at what he says to them. You will seek me and find me when you seek me how? With all your heart. You see, true love is a matter of the heart, isn't it? Okay? You cannot take the heart out of the true love formula. It will be something else, but it will not be true love if the heart is not there. And then finally, we talk about, you know, that whole showing other people and telling other people that we love God. So how is it that people are going to know? Jesus himself had this to say to his disciples, which it is to you and I today also. He gives a new commandment, he says. Okay, and that commandment involves what? That you love one another. Alright, that's the commandment. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Notice that he says then, by this. What's the this? By our love, you say, that we have one for another. That's the way that all people will know that you are a disciple of Jesus, is whether you have love for one another. That's what this is all about. You say, showing our love for one another. How do we best demonstrate that we love God? By how we love one another. You say, the message that God has for the world is his love. Okay? That's what it's all about. God is love. You say, he has love for us, and he wants us to have love for one another. The world, in other words, will know his messengers. That's supposed to be us. Okay? The world will know us by the way that we love one another. So it's about loving God and loving others. Jesus was asked the question, of all the commandments, and here's that, we were talking about this a little bit in our Bible class this morning, of all the commandments that are there, you know, which is the greatest? And that's the idea of, give me a list, you say, give me a list of which, what are the most important commandments, as if the rest of them aren't important enough for me to have to keep. And Jesus answers it this way. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all of your being, everything within you. With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So again, it really comes down to love God and love others. See? And that is the fulfillment of all of the law. And that's what God wants us to do more than anything. To love him and love one another. Okay? John writes it this way, 1 John chapter 4. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And look at this last part of this statement here. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. What does that really mean? It means, I think, God, or others rather, see us, or they see God as they see Him in us. They're able to see what God looks like. So the question is, do other people see Jesus in you? Okay. What do they see when they look at you? You see, true love really was born in a stable, wasn't it? But that true love died on the cross. Born in a stable, but died on the cross. Now, here's what I want you to think about as we get ready to finish this up this morning. We're going to stand and sing a song, an invitation song. Think about your relationship with God, as we've been talking about all along through this study. It's all about the relationship. It's all about being in love with God and with His creation. So here's the challenge for you. I want you to think about, if you were to write a love letter to God, okay, what would that love letter say? Would that love letter perhaps say something kind of like, dear God, I love you, but I know that I haven't been doing what I need to be doing in our relationship. And I want to get back on track. I want to be in love with you all over again. Would your love letter to God say something perhaps maybe like that? Or would it say something like, perhaps, dear God, I've not been in a relationship with you yet, but I really want one. I want to love you because I want your love for me. And I want to be with you. For those folks maybe that are here that have not entered into a love relationship with God because you're not giving yourself to Him. I want you to know this morning, if that's where you are, if that's something along that line that your letter would say, that you can begin a relationship with God right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life and to begin a relationship with Him, then repent of the sin that's separating you from Him. That's the big obstacle, is that sin. And you need to repent of that. You need to confess Jesus as your Lord. You need to have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. Just get them out of the way between you and God so that relationship can take hold and take root. And you can do that this morning. If you need to be baptized into Christ, you can do that right now. But what would your love letter say if you were writing a letter to God? Think about that while we're singing our invitation song. If we can serve you in any way to help you in your relationship with God, whether to begin one or whether to make the one that you have even better, we want to do that. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone if you'd like to just have a private prayer or conversation with him, and I'll be up front to receive anyone who'd like to come up here. Here's an example of a love note. Let's stand together and sing.